All right, tonight we will be in Nehemiah chapter 4, and from what Pastor told me the other day, he wants me to keep preaching through Nehemiah until he feels up to it. So he said, just finish the book. So it may be several more weeks that I'll be up here to preach. We'll see how that goes. But we'll be in Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight, and we're going to be looking at how to deal with opposition. The book of Nehemiah has a lot to do with people bringing problems, and all of us have problems. So I feel it's very applicable. As we get farther into the book, we're going to see that even through trials and troubles, we can still have faith in God, and we can still rejoice in Him and what He is doing. But tonight we're going to look at how to deal with opposition. This will be the first part. I think we've got about 3 weeks here dealing with different types of opposition. So let's begin in Nehemiah chapter 4. Verse number 1 says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews and spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" What lovely opposition. You know, we deal with people who will mock us. That's what it says here. Sanballat, at the end of verse 1, he mocked the Jews, calling them names, making fun of the work that they were doing. And I was thinking, why doesn't God do anything? If you've read through the chapter, you notice God just lets it go. Sometimes we feel like God's just ignoring us. He doesn't know what we're dealing with. We may have people making fun of us. We may have people who criticize the way we dress or criticize us going to church every time the doors are open. Do we get angry and upset? Does the Lord bring problems upon them immediately because they criticized us? We shouldn't get upset. And most likely the Lord's not going to deal with them immediately. We think in Scripture of some people who have been dealt with immediately upon their rebuke, their mockery. I think of David and Goliath. Goliath, a giant of a man, comes before the host of Israel and he mocks them. He makes fun of them. He makes fun of their God. And this goes on for days. And finally, a young boy, David, has the faith in God. I'm not going to say the courage. He had faith in God. And he says, you know what? Because we believe in God, we can stand up to this man. And David did. What did Goliath say to David? Let's look there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Beginning in verse number 41. "And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, 'Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field.'" Goliath is upset that this young boy is coming up to fight against him. But before he spoke, you will notice that there was an attitude Goliath had. He was a little upset because they sent out such a young little child to come fight them. They didn't send out their best. What kind of a name am I going to get because I can beat up someone a lot smaller than me? You know, Goliath's looking for, he's proud, he's glad of how large God has made him, even though he doesn't recognize God as God. And he's boasting about how great he is, and then they send out this little kid to him. And there's nothing really to be proud about. It's why the Israelites were told not to build up a large army and depend upon their military strength when they went into battle, because they were to depend upon God. Goliath's like, okay, anybody can take this little kid. But that's not what God allowed. God allowed David to sling that stone and hit him between the eyes and took care of Goliath right away. I think of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha has just seen Elijah go up into heaven. He comes back across the Jordan River, and these children come out and start mocking him, saying, "Go up, thou bald head." They're mocking him, just like Sanballat and Tobiah did. And what does Elisha do? He continues on, and two bears come out of the woods and tear the children. God took care of those children immediately when they mocked the man of God. But here, we don't see God intervening. We see verse number 4. It doesn't even mention who is speaking. It just changes from, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite in verse 3 was by him and said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.' Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." We see Nehemiah is writing this, and he's describing what Sanballat and Tobiah and the enemies are saying, and he transitions immediately into a prayer to God. When we're being reproached and mocked, is our first natural response to defend ourselves, to answer back? Think of little kids. When one starts to say something to someone else, they call someone a name, immediately the other person responds. And they keep calling each other names until they start throwing fists or wrestling or something like that. Nehemiah's first response is to pray. God, you hear their prayer. You hear what they're saying. Do something about it. Make them fall. And his prayer reminds me of King David. David prayed many times, and we have some of those recorded in the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 7, in verse number 15, we see David talking to God, and he said, "He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." David says, let what they're scheming against me, let it be worthless. Let them get caught in their own trap. I'm going to keep praising you, God. And in chapter 9, he says in verse 13, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgaion Selah. You see, David knew that even though people are reproaching him, God knows. He hears, and he will allow that reproach to return upon the offender. Nehemiah is trusting in that as well. Nehemiah is written many years after David wrote the Psalms, and he understands the same idea. Proverbs 28, verse number 10. Proverbs 28:10 says, "Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way," that's what Sanballat and Tobiah are trying to do. They're trying to cause Nehemiah and the builders of the wall to go astray. And it says, "He shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession." God's going to protect the righteous. You may have troubles, you may have trials, but is our first response going to God? That's how Nehemiah dealt with this opposition. But I want to look at the source of the opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah, what is it that brought them to a point of mocking Nehemiah? It says, "It came to pass in verse number 1 of chapter 4 that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Dealing with opposition, sometimes we need to understand where the people are coming from that are causing this opposition. Yes, Nehemiah prays that what they do would return upon them. But where are they coming from? They're coming from an attitude of anger, bitterness. Maybe they see God blessing the people of Israel. We don't know all the reasons behind why Sanballat and Tobiah don't want the temple or the wall around Jerusalem rebuilt. But we know it irritates them. And it brings them to a point of anger. And just like a little child who's in a fight, there's something little that sparks that anger. And they let it fume for a little bit. And then it builds. And then they go to the words. And the words come out. And they say something mean to someone else. They start breaking down or hurting somebody in order to lift themselves up. It's a gradual process. It's not something that all of a sudden they get great angry and they just start. No, it's something they allow in their life to grow. Are we allowing bitterness and anger to sit in our hearts? If we do, we're just cultivating those seeds. And they're going to grow into something worse. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Pretty soon, what's in your heart is going to come out through your mouth. They may be words of anger. They may be words of bitterness, jealousy. And we can hurt people with our words. But these things ought not so to be in the life of a believer. We need to put away that bitterness. Nehemiah doesn't get angry. He turns to God and he says, "God, you deal with it. It's just words." Chapter 4, verse number 6 says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work," even with all the opposition going on around them, because Nehemiah had a level head. He was praying. He was close with God. The people followed, and they had a mind to work. But we see a little bit of a change here. in verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. All right, so they're angry. They start speaking words of anger at Nehemiah and the people. They make fun of the work that they're doing, saying, even if a fox walks upon your walls, it's going to fall down. You don't know what you're doing. Remember last week we talked about the people of Israel who were building the wall? They weren't carpenters. They weren't masons. They weren't workers of stone or wood or anything. They were apothecaries. They were goldsmiths. They were rulers and leaders. They were priests. Levites, slaves, different people working together to build this wall. And Sanballat and Tobiah see this, and they're making fun. You don't know what you're doing. It's just going to fall apart, and they see that their name-calling, their mockery doesn't stop the Israelites from building. They get very wroth. Their anger continues to build. And it says in verse 8, they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now it's changed from words, and now it's actions. They're getting ready to fight and put a stop to it. Just like in little children, a couple words go back and forth, and pretty soon they're starting to hit each other or kick each other. They're getting into physical violence because they've allowed this to grow, and they haven't dealt with it. How does Nehemiah deal with this? Not only are they preparing to fight, but later we'll see that they come into the people and they start raising problems among the people. You see, we talked last week how the people who were building the walls didn't all live in Jerusalem. They lived in cities around Jerusalem. And they would travel in. Some of them lived outside the walls. As we get through Nehemiah, you'll see the houses inside the walls of Jerusalem are not rebuilt. People are living outside. We see that in verse number 11. The adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Sanballat and Tobiah are getting into the heads of the people who live outside the walls. When they come out, they hear what Sanballat and Tobiah are planning to do, and they get afraid. They're being influenced by the world. You know, we can have it's easy to stand strong and to live like a Christian when you're amongst other Christians, whether it's in the church building, whether it's at Christian camp. Wherever you are, if you're with a group of Christians, yes, the camaraderie, the accountability of one to another helps us to stand strong, which is important, why we need to meet together on a regular basis. But when we go out on our own, it's a lot easier for Satan to attack us and allow influences to get into us, whether it's through our friends at work or at school, whether it's through the TV or the music we listen to. These are all influences that affect us. And we can get a little discouraged sometimes with what we hear. Maybe it's just even the news. And we lose hope. It's all doom and gloom. But if our influence is coming from God's word, and our faith is in him, and we have that regular time where we're meeting together, we can stand strong and be faithful. So the adversaries are planning to come to battle against Jerusalem and the walls. They're getting into the heads of the people who are working And the people are starting to get a little discouraged. But what does Nehemiah do in verse number 9? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Did you notice he says, we made a prayer unto our God? It's not just Nehemiah this time praying, God, take care of this problem. He's getting the people together and they're praying. God, you know what we're dealing with. You know our situation. Help us. Protect us. It's not just words they're using. They're planning physical violence. They're planning to fight against us. Now Nehemiah makes it more of a priority. And he does something. He says, and set a watch at the end of verse 9 against them day and night because of them. He started to be watchful. Get people involved in watching. How are we going to prevent this? Because we need to be watchful. The devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We need to be aware of the dangers that are out there. When opposition comes, we need to recognize it so we're not taken by surprise. You know, when a lion comes, he doesn't come to the big herd and try to get the entire herd. He doesn't go for the ones who are watchful and aware. He goes for the weak, those who are unaware. We need to be watchful. Not just for ourselves, though, but we need to be watchful for those within our community, our church. Get to know each other. Know what they're struggling with. Be aware and pray with one another to encourage them in the right way. Verse number 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. You know, they've heard these stories when they're without of what the enemy is doing, and the people are getting discouraged. The work is difficult. It's not like they have a nice new pallet of stone that they're just working off of to rebuild the wall. They don't necessarily have blueprints on what to do or an instruction manual on how to put it together. This rock goes here and this rock goes there. They're not labeled. They're rummaging through the pile of the old wall and starting to rebuild it. And I know when you're dealing with rocks and dirt, it's been there for 70, 80 years. Dirt and grass and all kinds of stuff grow up within there. I can imagine thistles and thorns. And they have to fight through all this in order to rebuild the wall. And the first couple days, it's easy to stay strong and keep going. But day after day after day, people are making fun of you. People are trying to get into your head and discourage you. You're getting tired and worn out. That's when damage can really be done. That's when it's easy to sit back and just relax and say, okay, I give up. That's what these people are doing. They're starting to get discouraged and want to give up. The work is too hard. We can't do it. But Nehemiah is a righteous leader. He has a close relationship with the Lord. He recognizes the needs of his people. And so he does something about it. Verse number 13, then set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Don't give up. Put forth the effort. Be ready to fight. I'm going to equip you with weapons, but I don't want you just standing guard ready to fight all the time. We have a job that we need to do, and we're here to do it. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I can't do something because I have to be on guard, and we don't want to be distracted. And sometimes we don't want to trust one another. But we need to learn to trust one another. These people had several set for defense, who carried the shields and the weapons, who kept an eye, made sure they were ready to go, who made sure they would be alerted when the enemy came. But there were others who just had to keep working. He kept them together as families. You know, families are a strong bond. And we need to focus on strengthening the family. We need to have biblical families with a husband and wife and children in the right relationships, encouraging and strengthening one another, working together for the work of God. We need to support families and encourage them to be faithful, because there's not much of a bond stronger than family. And Nehemiah recognized this, and he kept the families together. And he wanted them to stay in areas where it was their home territory. It's much easier to fight for your own property and to stand up against someone who's coming to take it than it is for you to stand up for someone else's. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 10 that the hireling of the flock will flee when the wolves or the enemy come. But the shepherd of the flock, he will stay there and fight. That's what Nehemiah is doing, getting the families together in their own territories to defend, to fight for their own things, because he knows that's where the strength is. It says in verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. So now they're getting back to work. The enemy saw that they were prepared, and they didn't want to deal with a prepared army. Going up and surprise attack, yeah, that's one thing. Discouraging them so they can become tired and worn out and ready to give up, yeah, we can deal with that. But no, they're prepared. You know, when we get discouraged because of what people are saying, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Did you see Nehemiah do that here? Verse number 14, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Remember the promises of God. Remember that he is faithful. And he will give you the strength to fight, to keep going. It came to pass in verse 15, when our enemies heard it, that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, And they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had a sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Nehemiah set up a plan. He has a watch set whose responsibility is to be aware of what's going on. He has someone to sound the alarm. So when people hear the alarm, they will come to that area and know where the battle is and be prepared. He has some who can work with two hands, who have to work with two hands in the work they're doing. And so they're wearing their weapon at their side, or someone is carrying a weapon for them. Others are able to work with one hand and carry a weapon in the other. You know, we're not all going to be doing the same exact work. Some of us may be watching. Some of us may be building with two hands, and others may be building with one hand. But we all have a responsibility to do. And God wants us to be doing it. In the New Testament, he equates this to the body, that God has given us gifts in our body as the church. And we each need to do our part. We can't all be the eye or the ear or the hand, but we're all valuable. We need to do what our responsibility is, what God has gifted us with, in order to get the work done. So some of the people are carrying their weapons. Some have it in their hand. Others are standing watch. And it says in verse 19, "And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." It's not dependent on us. We're depending on God. But we have to be prepared to do what he wants us to do. You know, the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. It seems silly to march around once a day for 6 days, and the seventh day to march around 7 times and then to shout. But that's what God wanted them to do that time. And they did it, and God wrought the victory. But they had to be faithful each of those 7 days to do what they were supposed to do. They went to fight at Ai. And God told them how to fight Ai the second time after they had lost the battle initially because of sin. And when they go into battle, God tells them what to do, and they do it. But God brought the victory. You know, during this time, Nehemiah had the people stationed and ready to go in case Sanballat and Tobiah and the enemy came up against them. But they were focused on their work. They knew what their responsibility was, and they did it. They knew that if danger came, they would be made aware of it and what they were to do when that danger happened. They were all to resort to that spot and to fight, but trusting God that he would give the victory. Verse number 21, "So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing." Nehemiah brought everyone into the city because he knew that outside they were being attacked. They were being challenged and questioned, and they were struggling being outside. He says, for now, until this work is done, we need to all stay inside. We need to all take care to watch out one for another. Once the walls are built and the work is done, what's Sanballat and Tobiah going to do to stop the work? they're not going to. So until we get the work done, everyone stay close and we'll keep guard. We'll have some people keep guard at nighttime, some throughout the day, but we'll constantly be on watch because we have this opposition. You know, when we're dealing with people who are angry and upset, and they start criticizing us and making fun of us, our first response needs to be prayer to God. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can hurt people. But we can take it to the Lord, and we can make it so those words don't set in our heart. So we don't develop that root of bitterness that will grow. That we don't get discouraged. Take it to the Lord and look at his promises, and he will be faithful. When things come to the point of actual physical altercation and stuff, we need to be ready to be on guard, but not trust in our own strength, but to trust in the Lord and be prepared. Be on guard. Be on the lookout. But don't make it so that you're so worried about what is out there that you don't do the work. It's important to continue with the work that we have. God will be faithful. Keep trusting him. Keep looking to him. Make him as your focus. So even through this opposition, we can stand strong and be faithful. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the truths that it has to teach us. We thank you for this lesson from Nehemiah, and that he was an example of a great leader who recognized the needs of the people around him, who saw you and your faithfulness. He didn't let the opposition sit in his heart and make him critical. But he sought you, and you gave him wisdom to know how to handle this situation. And I pray, Lord, that we would seek you daily, that we would encourage one another, pray one for another, that we would be on guard, but yet be faithful in the work that you have for us, not comparing ourselves one with another, but just doing what you want us to be doing. Help us be faithful to do the work that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.